Before the beginning, there was nothing. No earth, no heavens, no stars, no sky. Only the mist world, formless and shapeless, and the fire world, always burning. To the north was Niflheim, the dark world. Here 11 poisonous rivers cut through the mist, each springing from the same well. At the center of it all, the roaring maelstrom called Hvergelmir. Niflheim was colder than cold, and the murky mist that cloaked everything hung heavily. The skies were hidden by mist, and the ground was clouded by the chilly fog. To the south was Muspel. Muspel was fire. Everything there glowed and burned. Muspel was light, where Niflheim was grey, molten lava where the mist world was frozen. The land was aflame with the roaring heat of a blacksmith's fire. There was no solid earth, no sky, nothing but sparks and spurting heat, molten rocks and burning embers. In Muspel, at the edge of the flame, where the mist burns into light, where the land ends, stood Sotar, who existed before the gods. He stands there now. He holds a flaming sword, and the bubbling lava and the freezing mist are as one to him. It is said that at Ragnarok, which is the end of the world, and only then, Surtur will leave his station. He will go forth from Muspel with his flaming sword and burn the world with fire, and one by one the gods will fall before him. 2. Between Muspel and Niflheim was a void, an empty place of nothingness without form. The rivers of the mist world flowed into the void, which was called Ginnungagap, the yawning gap. Over time beyond measure, these poisoned rivers in the region between fire and mist slowly solidified into huge glaciers. The ice in the north of the void was covered in frozen fog and pellets of hail, but to the south, where the glaciers reached the land of fire, the embers and the sparks from Muspel met the ice, and warm winds from the flame lands made the air above the ice as gentle and as comfortable as a spring day. Where the ice and the fire met, the ice melted, and in the melting waters life appeared. The likeness of a person bigger than worlds, huger than any giant there will be or has ever been. This was neither male, nor was it female, but was both at the same time. This creature was the ancestor of all the giants, and it called itself Ymir. Ymir was not the only living thing to be formed by the melting of the ice. There was also a hornless cow, more enormous than the mind could hold. She licked the salty blocks of ice for food and for drink, and the milk that ran from her four udders flowed like rivers. It was this milk that nourished Ymir. The giant drank the milk and grew. Ymir called the cow Audumla. The cow's pink tongue licked people from the blocks of ice. The first day, only a man's hair. The second, his head. And the third day, the shape of a whole man was revealed. This was Buri, the ancestor of the gods. Ymir slept, and while it slept, it gave birth. A male and a female giant were born from beneath Ymir's left arm, a six-headed giant born from its legs. From these Ymir's children, all giants are descended. Buri took a wife from among these giants, and they had a son, whom they called Bor. Bor married Bestla, daughter of a giant, and together they had three sons, Odin, Vili, and Ve. Odin and Vili and Ve, the three sons of Bor, grew into manhood. They saw, as they grew, far off the flames of Muspel and the darkness of Niflheim, but they knew that each place would be death to them. The brothers were trapped forever in Ginnungagap, the vast gap between the fire and the mist. They might as well have been nowhere. There was no sea and no sand, no grass nor rocks. No soil, no trees, no sky, no stars. There was no world, no heaven, and no earth at that time. The gap was nowhere, only an empty place, waiting to be filled with life and with existence.